You're listening to the Ghost Hunter Advice Podcast.
Welcome back to Ghost Hunter Advice. I am your host, Tanner Rutledge, and today's episode, I'm going to be talking about networking with people outside of ghost hunting and outside of what we normally do. You guys might hear a little bit of road noise behind me. I am recording pretty close to an interstate. I've got a kind of an outdoor studio that's set up. I'm testing the stuff to be able to actually go out and do field interviews with people and do some of these podcasts recorded on location in haunted sites. So coming down the road in 2021, we'll be getting into doing a bit more of that. All right. So getting into today's episode, networking outside of the paranormal field. And this is where I feel like a lot of teams fall short, because I think a lot of us are, I don't want to say shy, but we get so many eye rolls whenever we say that we're ghost hunters or we're looking into hauntings. People think it's a little kooky. Sometimes we get a little self-conscious of what people are going to think of us when we bring it up. And those of us that have reached out, a lot of the times we'll go straight for it and we'll reach out to a college or something to try to talk to, maybe not a college, but talk to a historian or at a university, a history professor, physics professor, psychology professor, or parapsychologist, which I feel would probably be more open to this. And we get shot down. And after hitting, you know, a couple of rejections, a lot of people just kind of close down to it and they do their own thing. But something that I learned working as a legal investigator and as a licensed private investigator is that experts are able to give us such a deeper understanding of what's going on. And you don't know everything. Everyone has specialized knowledge. And yes, we can have knowledge, a knowledge base or a foundation for knowledge in several different areas, but there tends to be one to three things that most investigators and most people are very, very good at and that understand inside and out. And when you have a complex situation such as a haunting where there's so many different variables and so many different possible explanations, it helps to have a couple of different sets of eyes and a couple of different backgrounds looking at the problem with you. So that's why I call on people for help. And not just running with paranormal teams, even more diverse groups. I've noticed there's a certain mix of skeptic and psychic and believer. There is a mix of people from different backgrounds, different jobs and trades, but there still seems to be a similar belief pattern. And I mean, that's what happens when we group ourselves together. We tend to group ourselves with like-minded people. And that's one of the downsides of only staying within your group. And even as a team, failing to reach out to professionals when things get a little outside of your knowledge base. As a legal investigator and as a professional investigator, I relied on experts in cases of child abuse and child neglect and endangerment. I could go out, I could get the evidence, I could get the video, the statements, the testimony, and I could show the damage that was being done, and I could prove that something was going on there. But it really took a child psychologist, a forensic psychologist, medical doctors to look at my evidence and to shine light on it in a way that gave judges a clear picture of what was happening in the situation and a context that they could use to make a decision. And as investigators that are going in and doing these ghost hunts for residences and for businesses and for people that are actually experiencing something, that's what our job is. We are giving people information so that they can make a decision. And usually that decision is, are they going to be comfortable with where they're living? Are they going to continue to live where they're living? And is there some form of action that they need to take to feel safe in their house? So there are decisions being made on every case that I work. I know A lot of people just want evidence. A lot of people just want to feel like they're not crazy, or they want to share a, they want to have something to share with people to show them, hey, these guys came out to my house and this is haunted, or a business, hey, these guys came out and we're verifying it's haunted. I tend to not work those cases. Usually there's a reason for me to drag all of my equipment and drag myself out in the field and usually spend a couple of nights away from home. But those are my cases. Everybody's got their own convictions for doing this. It is a lot of fun. And if you're a hobbyist, and like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. If you guys do this for fun and this is what you're doing and ghost hunting on the weekend and having fun, that's awesome. That's what I did when I got into it. And that's how I got started doing it. That's how most of us started doing it. Then this probably is not going to pertain to you, but down the road, as you get more experiences and as you start to do this for different reasons, this may be something that you want to consider. So when reaching out to people that are not ghost hunters, how do you get them to say yes? How do you get people to actually want to help you on your investigation and doing your case? And for people to say yes and for people to feel comfortable, especially if they're going to need to come out in the field with you, they're going to need to know you outside of this. Just like we're providing context to the clients and we're providing information to the clients, these professionals are going to need to trust you, and they're going to need to know you. And there's a couple of ways to build that trust and build those relationships. As a private investigator, I built relationships with engineers, psychologists, doctors, scientists, and I was able to pull on that from my professional experience and from my professional relationships to say, hey, I've got this weird thing that's going on that that I'm helping someone out with. This is what they think's going on. This is what I've been able to find. Do you have anything that that might add some more information or some possibilities to this? And depending on who I'm reaching out to, if it's a sound engineer, I'm probably sending them an EVP going, hey, could you look this over? I've got this strange recording from this location that the person believes is haunted. I'll go into the information on that and send that off, have them take a look at it and see if it's interference, if it's improper shielding, if it's bleed over from something. Or if it, if they're unable to explain what it is and they believe that it might be an EVP. Structural engineers and tradesmen, if I'm having an issue in a house that I believe has something to do with the actual physical properties of the location, I'll probably call in an engineer or a tradesman. Same deal there. Scientists, and we'll get into that in the second part of the podcast. Right now, this is just about building those relationships and getting them to agree to help you. So I used my professional connections to open those doors. Outside of my professional connections, because I know a lot of people out there are working in the legal field and they're not in a position where people are familiar with their investigating style and their level of professionalism as an investigator. You're going to be calling probably outside of your profession. Groups of friends are a great resource, and there's two reasons for that. I do have several friends that are engineers in a variety of specialties that I can call on that know me personally. And we've talked about this at barbecues, we've talked about this at get-togethers, and it's kind of sparked an interest on their side. And me being their friend, they want to help me. So when I reach out, I'm like, hey, I've got this, it's kind of a head-scratcher, and it's a problem, and it's an interesting problem that is going to make an engineer ask a question or make a scientist ask a question. And I'm just going to go ahead and say, if you can get an engineer or a scientist to ask a question, you probably have them hooked. Because good scientists, good engineers, when they have a question, when they have something that's unanswered, it drives them nuts. So you're probably going to get them to come along with it. And I'm sure there's probably a couple of guys that are listening to this that are academic background scientists or engineers that are like, yep, yeah, if there's a question, then we got to answer it. And that's a great way to get them into it. Let's see. referrals. That's the, that was the other way I was going with this. So chances are inside of your circle of influence, or maybe a little bit in the outside of that in the peripherals, you've got an acquaintance, you've got a friend, you've got somebody that knows a tradesman or a scientist or someone at a university that could then give you a third party referral to someone that can help you. Referrals are a quick and dirty way to build a rapport with someone and to have a little bit of trust right out the gate. If they have a trusted source that either calls them, or you can say, so-and-so told me to call you, I have this issue, they're automatically a little bit more inclined to help you, or at least inclined to listen to the problem. So if you have that introduction and that referral from someone they trust, there's a good chance you can get them to listen to you. And if you are able to articulate your problem in a way that gets them to ask a question or gets them interested, especially if it's something that they're not going to have to put a lot of time in on, they're more likely to help you. Networking groups are another great way to get to know people. There are several in Chattanooga that are like after hours network group. And obviously this is going to be after the pandemic, but where professionals just get together and they have drinks and they talk. And you build your professional connections and you build your network at these events. Now you have to get past all the salesmen and you have to get past all of the people wanting to sell you stuff. But toward about the middle to the end of the night, so we're all usually a couple drinks into it, and we sit down and we start talking, and then ghost stories pop up, and then this, that, or the other pops up. And you have a chance to get some people interested in what you do, or leave out the ghost hunting, build some stronger connections where you have acquaintances, not necessarily friends, not necessarily professional contacts, but acquaintances that can either give you a referral to someone that you're looking for to help you with the problem, or will end up, what's happened a couple of times, end up referring someone to you as a ghost hunter. So we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be going into the most common types of professionals that I call on for help in paranormal investigations. All right, guys, welcome back. So we went over why I call for help outside of ghost hunting and other professions, and we've gone over the ways that I've been able to get people involved in wanting to help me. And generally, just to recap, that revolves around building a relationship with people, building a relationship with people that you can call on for help, or building a relationship with people that can give you a referral. Something that I left out of the last segment is social media. I've met a lot of people through various online ghost hunting, investigation, physical science groups that have some pretty amazing background, especially as sound engineers, entertainers, tradesmen, a few engineers. And I've been able to build some relationships with that, with some really awesome professionals that I trust to give me their insight on cases. So let's get into the type of people that I call a lot. And at the top of that is going to be historians and librarians. I put them in the same group because I usually go to them for the same things. Librarians are probably going to help you no matter what. You're going to be hard to find to help a librarian that doesn't want to answer a question when you go in with one. Usually, librarians will point me in the right direction when I am looking for backgrounds, when I'm looking for resources, when I'm looking for information on a property. If they don't have it there in the library, they are professionally trained on how to locate information. So a librarian is an amazing resource for a ghost hunter, a paranormal investigator, or a private investigator. Historians. Now, if I am looking for the history of an area, ghost stories, hauntings, and history have always been related. Ghost stories, for as far back as we have had written history, have been an interesting way to get people to pay attention to the past. So historians are generally going to know the lore, the information, the backgrounds and stories of an area. So if you can get in with the historical society, chances are you're going to find someone in that group who is a professional that has a detailed background of a property, especially a historical property or an area that's in an older, significant part of a small town, all the way up to a big city. Historians are also great gatekeepers for academia. So if you are needing to talk to maybe a psychology professor, maybe get in with a history department at a college, those guys are a great place to find referrals to other academics that are actually working in universities and colleges. Getting more into the actual field craft and away from digging up background, which is incredibly important and one of the most important parts of the investigation, do not overlook that. But getting into the actual physical part of the investigation, where we're starting to figure things out and starting to weed things out, I call on engineers and tradesmen a lot. And I'm going to put these guys in the same bucket because I call them with the same questions. If there is something structural with a home, with a property that I believe is causing the quote-unquote activity, and could be a physical resolution or a physical answer to the problem, I will oftentimes call them in if I am in over my head, and ask them questions. Hey, this is the activity that's going on. These are the strange shadows that are moving through the house. These are the strange sounds that are moving through the house, are being heard in the house. Is this an acoustic issue? Could this possibly be something with the type of materials that was used to build the structure? Could this be settling or could this be something else? And I'll take those questions generally to a tradesman or an engineer. Engineers, there are a couple of them that will come out with me on a case. For the most part, when it comes to issues, electromagnetic issues, structural issues of a house, I'll take a tradesman like a carpenter or an engineer or a plumber with me when I'm looking into the, into the nitty-gritty of the investigation. We've covered academics. A lot of that's going to be history professors, psychology, physics professors. Academics and scientists, I'll put them in the same boat too. A lot of times when I go to a scientist or someone at a university, what I'm doing is I'm looking for what I'm leaving out. I'll take my case to them. This is what I did. This is what I'm thinking. This is how I tested it. Can you see any holes? Could you see any way that I could strengthen the testings, especially if it's a place that I have in the past I got results at and have labeled as haunted? And I'm trying to run an experiment, I will call a scientist or a college professor or someone that I know of and that I trust and that trusts me, and will give me feedback on what I can do to strengthen the experiment, the validity of the experiment, things that I can try if it is just an initial investigation, if it's something where I'm helping someone at a house. They can give me the what I'm missing, basically. In my plan to make it a more complete investigation. Moving on to healthcare professionals. Now, this is mostly going to be psychologists and counselors. Mental illness is something that we run into a lot in the paranormal field. People have emotional issues, psychological issues that can cause them to hallucinate. There could be some trauma. Physical trauma, emotional trauma that causes hallucinations, that causes people to have delusions. We always have to be aware of that. And when we see signs of it, we need to have professionals to call in. And a lot of times that is going to be a counselor that we can refer them to. Whenever I go into a situation and there are indicators or red flags of mental illness, I generally refer people to a counselor that I trust and that I know that will take care of them, and not just throw them a bunch of pills, but if they need to, they'll get medication, that will actually talk to them and help them through that problem. And I've noticed on a number of investigations, when I have referred someone to counseling and they have gone to counseling, the paranormal activity stops. Now, I'm not saying that every time you go into a situation and there's mental illness, there's not also going to be supernatural. There are some things that are drawn to that. There are some things that maybe create that. We're still, you know, finding out how stuff works. But it's very important that as ghost hunters and paranormal investigators, we don't make a situation worse. Whether that's stirring up the activity and stirring up the ghosts or stirring up old traumas and making conditions worse for people that suffer from mental conditions. So make sure that you have someone, a counselor, a psychologist that you trust, that you can send people to get the help they need to clear up. No, I say clear up to help them on their journey to being happy and to being healthy, so that when there's something left over from that, we know that it is probably going to be paranormal or something that they're not hallucinating. So those are the trades, professions that I call on the most as a paranormal researcher. That's how I built relationships with people. And my advice is to, if you're an introvert, try to get out of your shell. You know, have a person on your team or a person that you go with that's a bit more outgoing to go to these events and meet people. Meet people, build your team, and keep helping. Thanks for tuning in to Ghost Hunter Advice. It has been a pleasure to do this show for you guys. If you're liking what you're listening to, connect with us on Facebook in the Ghost Hunter Advice group. Make sure you answer the questions so that we let you guys in. And make sure you drop by iTunes and leave us a rating if you're enjoying the show and if you're feeling you're getting any value out of it. Please leave us a rating. It is the fastest way to help us grow the show and find new listeners. All right, guys, I am out. Happy haunting.